We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
Let's look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the beginning. Who's that that can establish us? To him who is able to establish us. That is Jesus. Because Paul's talking about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And it's interesting how he says it's a mystery that's been kept secret since the beginning of time. For the whole time from Genesis 1:1 to the first of the Gospels, we have what? We have prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of Jesus. But if you never had Jesus and never had the four Gospels, then you would not understand any of those prophecies. They would be beyond your comprehension. We can read Psalms now and see that Psalms, David gave an accurate description of Jesus' agony on the cross. Step by step of Jesus' agony on the cross. But if we didn't have the Gospels, we wouldn't know that, would we? It was kept secret from the Jews, because God knew they weren't going to believe it. So we're the generation that is being set. After that time of waiting, after that time of trouble, we're the ones that are being given that direction. We're being set forward. We're given a course. And he's the one that will establish that course for us. The only person that can establish that, and this is for you young kids too, the only person that can establish your course in this world is Jesus. If you establish your course on the world and what the TV tells you you should wear, what the friends tell you you should be, what the peer pressure makes you want to do, you're going to establish a direction that's going to lead you into sorrow. We were discussing the other day in Rock Springs at Bible study why we see these people in the world that are so wealthy. They don't seem to have a problem. They don't worship Jesus. They're worldly. But they have everything, people think, because they have money, they have power. But they don't have the Lord. Most of them you find aren't inherently happy. But if we look in the Gospels, what happened when Jesus was tempted? When Jesus was tempted, the devil came up to him and took him up on a high mountain, and what did he say? Look at these kingdoms. Look at this land. I will give you all of this and the power over it if you'll come and worship me. Now, how did Satan offer Jesus all of that if it wasn't his? Think about it. How did Satan offer Jesus the power of the whole world if it already wasn't Satan's? That's why people that don't follow the Lord can be rich, can be wealthy, can be powerful, because they're following the Lord of this earth, not the Lord of the heavens. And you have to remember that. You have to remember that if you're suffering, you have to look at Peter. You have to look at chapter 5, verse 10, and you have to see that after a while, he's going to make you perfect. He's going to make you in his complete will. He's going to give you a new direction. And then, what does it say he's going to do? We go back. He's going to what? Good. He is going to strengthen. See, that's the next one. We've been perfected. We've been established. Before we look at strength, and I want to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 3, if it's the right verse. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. 3, 3, 3. Whoops. Pages are too thin. I went too far. But the Lord is faithful and will establish you and guard you from the evil one. There's the promise. As you come out from that time of trouble, he's going to perfect your will, going to make you complete, bring you into his will if you'll let him. He's going to give you a new direction, and that new direction, if you follow it, there's always that if, that new direction he establishes, if you follow it, he will guard you from the evil one. So, there's a promise of protection there. Okay, let's look at strengthen. Now, this is interesting. What do you think of when we read that he's going to strengthen us? You've just come out of troubled times. He has told you, I'm going to bring you into my perfect will. He has told you that I am going to establish you and give you a new course, but now he says he's going to strengthen you. What do you think of? Quiet. It's not what you're thinking. The Greek here for this means in spiritual knowledge. Okay, the Greek here means he's going to not only give you a direction, he's going to strengthen or increase you in your spiritual knowledge. Yes, he's going to give you the wisdom to keep you from having to go through that trial again. And the spiritual wisdom you need to go forward for the will of God in your life. That's why we have to sometimes go back and look at what the apostles and the disciples were telling us, because sometimes when they translate it, they used the closest word we had, which is strengthened, and they didn't put in after strengthened in the word in this place. Now in other places, Paul says, the Lord will strengthen you in the word. Well, how does he strengthen you in the word? He gives you what? Increasing knowledge. You can't make your biceps stronger by pumping the Bible. Well, I guess you could if you got a big enough one. But that's not what he means by I'm going to strengthen you in the Word because you're pumping the Word up and down on your biceps. He's going to increase your spiritual knowledge in the Word. So as you come out of this trying time, he's going to increase that. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. And this is the same word here in the Greek. Revelation 3, verse 2. I'll start at 3:1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, these things write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works, here we are with this word again, perfect before God. Therefore, remember now you have what you have received and heard, hold fast, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come as a thief, and you will not know the hour which I will come upon you. Now here Paul is turned around these words. Paul has been using, God is giving back to us. He's saying, you have a name to be alive, but you're dead. People drive by and there's 50 cars in your parking lot. And you got lots of programs. You guys have good times. You have plenty of potluck suppers and your preacher preaches to you happy messages. But you're spiritually dead. You're not in my will because what does he say? I have not found your works perfect before God. They are not complete. And the only way we can be complete is be in the will of God. So you might see this beautiful big church out there, and God's sitting up there saying, hey, hello, Church of Sardis. You're not complete. You're not in my perfect will. But what does he say? Be watchful and strengthen. Be watchful and increase the knowledge, your spiritual knowledge of the things that remain that are ready to die. In other words, they're not fully dead because they have the knowledge of Jesus. They have the knowledge of the Lord's will. They have the knowledge, but they're not doing anything with it. He says, increase, strengthen, or he'll come upon them as a thief in the night. Which, what does that mean? If a thief comes into your house in the middle of the night and you're sound asleep, what's going to happen? You're going to wake up in the morning and everything's going to be gone, but you. That's what he's talking about here. I'm going to come like a thief in the night, and you're going to wake up in the morning, and everybody's going to be gone but you. That's why Jesus says, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And I will say to you, go back and worship the one you worshiped on earth. That's what he's talking about here. I'm going to come like a thief in the night because you're not perfect. You're not established. You're not strengthened, and you're not going to know it. You're going to wake up next morning, and half your friends are going to be gone, and you're going to be standing there. You're going to be wondering what happened. Okay, the final one is what?
Settle.
To settle. Now, this one in the Greek means to lay aside or to have a foundation, to set the foundation. So what is God telling us here? Let's look in Colossians 1, first chapter, verse 23. Colossians, first chapter, verse 23. Next page. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of which the gospel you have heard, which has preached to every creature under heaven, and which I, Paul, became a minister. Now he says here, faith, and the word they use here is grounded, instead of the settled. In the King James it says settled. If indeed you continue in faith settled and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of gospel. What is he saying? If you read the whole chapter, basically, Paul's saying that if you remain, if you stay, if you are grounded, if you have the foundation, and what's the foundation of? Faith. The final thing you get as you come out of that trial, as God perfects His will in your life, as you get yourself established, as you get spiritually improved and knowledged, is a solid foundation of faith. We can't get faith if we don't have a reason for it. Faith is not, the quote everybody quotes is not, faith is the substance of seeing things seen. Faith is the substance of things felt. Faith is the substance of things not seen, things hoped for, things that are out there. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a period of turmoil in your life, when you're going through a period of your kids driving you crazy because you just can't control them anymore, or you're going through a period that your job just doesn't go the way you want it to, you have the faith that God is going to work it out. But you don't know that. You just have that faith. But when God does work it out and you come through and you get established in His perfect will, you get strengthened, your faith becomes your foundation. Because no longer is it faith of something hoped for or not seen. It's faith in something that became a reality. And so He settles you. Because your faith takes a step up. See, faith is a step builder. You start down here on the platform walking with everybody else. I think it can happen. Like the little train, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Well, once you've got up to that first step, then that first step is, I know I can. The first time you experience laying on of hands and healing somebody, you go from, I think I can, to, I know I can. That faith has been settled in you. The first time that you utter tongues, the secret language, either in prayer or in speaking for prophecy, your faith goes to, I know it's real, not I think it's real. And that's the way the Lord works with us. You know, we see that during the period of those that walked with Jesus, they had it. It was there. But even they could not fully grasp the idea. Remember the one boy that had the demon? Jesus came down from the mountain, and the Father said, I asked your disciples to cast him out, but they couldn't. And Jesus, in His always politically correct way, looked at his disciples and basically said, you evil and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? What happened? Jesus cast them out immediately. Now, the theologians always say, Jesus said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. So therefore, we all look at the Bible, the theologians that have studied this beyond the studies, and they say, that kind of demon, you can only get out through prayer and fasting. You can't get it out any other way. No, Jesus was telling His disciples they had to go through that trial. Prayer and fasting is a trial. I have one of those brains that you try to pray, you might make it 10 minutes and then it's on its own. It went somewhere else and I have to drag it back. That's a trial for me. Fasting, you can tell. I'm well fed. That's why my clothes are tight. I'm not missing a meal. Fasting for me is a trial. So for me to pray and fast for something to happen is going through a trial. And when I go through that trial, it perfects me. It establishes me. It strengthens me. And it settles my faith because it happens. But if they had the faith to reach out and do it, they wouldn't have had to go that route. But they had to go that route to get perfected in God's will, to get established, to get strengthened, and then to have their faith be their foundation that they just found. Then they could have done like Jesus did, cast them out. Look at Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. It had to hurt. That really had to hurt when he realized what he had done. But think how much more it had to hurt when he finally saw the Master, and the Master had to ask him 3 times, did he love him? And what did he say? Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Well, then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then go and tend my sheep. Do you love me? What was Peter's response at the 3rd time? You know I love you, Lord. Come on. But because he denied him 3 times, Peter had to go through that trial of the 3 times before his faith was established there. Now we read of Peter in Acts, and what's going on in Acts? Peter's faith is so strong. It's been established by all the trials he's walked through. His walk in Jesus' will is so perfect. But there's people sitting on the down sun side with the faith that if Peter's shadow falls upon them, they will be healed. Now that's established faith. Because you don't read of Peter telling these people they're crazy. You don't read of Peter telling them, don't be sitting there waiting for my shadow. You hear of them being healed by that shadow. That's the establishment of faith. See what happens when we have to go through trials? The Lord is building this church. Mary and I have had a vision for this church for a long time. And frankly, we'd be pastoring it if the Lord hadn't told us not to. Because we look at you as our little flock. And we'd pastor you, but the Lord said three times, very plain and clear, no, no, no. So at that time anyway, that wasn't His will. We don't know what His will change to be as we grow perfect into it. But we are always here for you guys. You know, we're a phone call away. You call us, need prayers, you need anything, that's what we're here for. You know, God has brought us to this little church to be servants to you. You know, that's the word pastor is interchangeable with the word elder, which is interchangeable with the word bishop. And the only differences in them is that a pastor prophesies or preaches, a bishop is an elder that teaches, and an elder is an overseer of the church. But all three of those things have one thing in common, a servant's heart. You have to have a servant's heart. Well, Jesus showed us what a servant's heart was. He went in on the days before His death, and He washed His disciples' feet. That's a servant's heart. And that's what I'm here for. If your feet need washed, I'll wash them. If you need help, spiritually or any other way, we're here. You know, we're your servants. We're here to serve you guys. We're here to love you, to help you in any way we can. And sometimes we don't know how until the Lord leads us. And we have one lady, thankfully, that every time anything happens, she's the first one on the phone to call us up and tell us to pray for this person or pray for that. And that means more than we can ever say to her, because it means a lot to stay connected to you guys. But we love you, and the words I preach to you are words that God gives to me to help strengthen you, to help show you. Just like Scott was saying today about needing to repent because of things with the church. I don't know personally, but I don't think there's any real repenting that has to be done. I think it's more a case of God strengthening you and binding you guys together. God doesn't give visions to drive you crazy. God gives you visions because He wants you to do that. You know, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, God gave Mary and I a vision together at the exact same moment of working for Him and living out of a travel trailer and traveling. Well, here we are. We're living out of a travel trailer. That's our only home. And we work, 300-mile radius of churches that we're working in. So His vision, we stay true to it, and His vision came true. If God gave you guys the vision of this church growing beyond the walls, if you stay true to that, it will happen. It's not a matter of it might. If you stay true to that vision and focused on the Lord in that vision, it will happen. We cannot exist as Christians without a vision. And even if the only vision we have is this word right here, if we are going through trials and tribulations and down times, grab this, study it, read it, devour it, make it your food, and you will find that when you come out the backside, you're a different person. Because God has done with you what He needed to do. One of the sermons I preached once is about we're all on a big hula hoop. No, I haven't taught you how to do the hula hoop, because you can't make a hula hoop stay right here. You have to have a waist. And have you ever tried to hula hoop with a gut? It just goes down to your knees, or it comes up to your nose. As soon as I get this thin, I'll teach you how to. She'll be 25 years old when I teach her how to hula hoop. But that's how our life is. We start here at the top, and we come around to the top. And in that is lessons. And if we learn the lessons, then we go over to the next hula hoop and we start over again. But if we don't learn the lesson, we will go around and around and around and around the same loop over and over and over again. It'll be different people, different situations, different times, but if you honestly look back, if you're stuck and you can't figure out why, look back. And you will see that you've been through the exact same thing multiple times, you just haven't learned it. And as soon as you learn it, God will let you go on. But if you're praying to be in His will, you're praying to be closer to Him, you're praying to do what He wants you to do, then He's going to let you go around that loop till you learn the lesson you have to learn. And if you ever feel that's happening to you, just look back and you'll see what you need to learn. God will show you. And when you come out of that trial, you'll be more in His perfect will. You'll be steadfast or established. You'll be strengthened, and you'll have your faith to stand on.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.